So, rather than starting another book, since we only have 1 week left, and since there was interest in women's obligations to qua davening, as we discussed almost 3 weeks ago on Shivasa B'Tamuz, I figured it might be a good topic to discuss whether what's a woman's obligation in benching with a zimun. So, as you know, when men say the grace after meals, if there are three men, they have what's called a zimun. And if there are 10 men there, they say not only a zimun, but they say the word Elokeinu. So the question is, what if there are three women that eat together? Would they, in fact, have an obligation? Would it be optional, etc.? What's the rule with that? So, we'll take a look at the sources. The first source says, Shlosho shach k'echod chayavim lezamin. When three people eat together, you have to make a zimun. Noshim v'avodim v'katanim eim ezamnin aleihem. However, women, slaves, and people under the age of majority, you don't make a zimun with them.
Wait a minute, it says women and slaves?
And children. Right.
You don't do zimun.
Right. Now again, these are three categories of people who do not count towards a minyan, who are Jewish but don't count towards a minyan. So that's the similar idea. The Gemara asks about it. Tashma, Noshim Mezabnus Atzmon V'Avodim Ra'atzmon, Noshim V'Avodim V'Ketanim Ratzu Rezamin, Aim Rezamin. So it's a very important line. If women are just by themselves, the simple reading, women should make a zimun. They, in fact, if there are three women, if I'm not home, and there are three women in the Rav family that are above the age of Bas Mitzvah, four, in fact, So in the event that I would find myself, I don't know, in Colorado for Shabbos, hypothetically, and the family was home, it would seem from here that Noshim Mezamnos L'Atzman, that women, in fact, should make a Zeman, just like if Avadim were by themselves, they would. However, together, they cannot. If there's women together with Avadim, they don't go together, even if they want to. V'ha Meya Noshi Ketre Gavri Damyan. Wait a second, let me say, as far as this is concerned, 100 women are the only equivalent of two men, meaning that that's not enough to make a zimun. But on the one hand, you say that women never equal three. On the other hand, you say that women do add up, and they have...
Well, if 100 equals two, then 150 would equal three. So.
150 would equal two also. Two would even equal two. It's not that 50 equals one. That means even 100 equals 2. It's not that this isn't the three-fifths compromise. Everybody counts as one person. But I think that the idea that when you need three, even 100 wouldn't be enough. That's what it says. It's not that women have a 2% value of men. That's not what's being said here. So on one hand it says, wait a second, that indicates that they can't, even if they have 100. But then on the other hand you tell me that they can. Says Shani Hasam de Ika Deos. This is different because there are different deos. Where there's different opinions. Yahachi Ema Sefet Noshim Vadim Imrotza Lazamin Ema Zamim Amairab Ha Ika Deos. So Rashi explains, what does this mean? Rashi says as follows. Rashi explains Ika Deos. Avgav Inin Chove En Chayavin Reini Rishus Deos Shosha Chashiva Rahodos. Said that Rashi says it's as follows, that women do not have to do a zimun. If there are three women sitting together and they don't want to do a zimun, that's fine. However, the bottom line is women are people too, and therefore, if three women want to do a zimun, they can. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. If women are people too, and Avadim are people too, so why not mix two and two and get more than three? The answer is no, that's inappropriate. That Avadim are not known to be the most moral of people, and therefore, we don't want them mixing in terms of meals. That's the whole reason. So, according to Rashi's understanding of our Gemara, if I asked you, if there are three women who are eating a meal together, would they make a zimun? You would tell me?
Yes.
If they want to. They have an option of doing it. If they want to do it, fine. If not, not.
But if there's one guy there, it's out.
Right. But if the women are just eating themselves, well, what?
If there's three women and one guy, out.
Out.
If there's three meals, is that the halal meals?
Right. No, you're not. That's what we're saying. That they don't do it in that case.
No, but really, is it because of its knees?
Yes, that's exactly the reason.
What if he leaves the room?
What?
What if he leaves the room?
Then we're good. Don't know why we ever invited him in the first place. The Mordechai says, based on this, so how come women don't do it? Practical question. It really seems that women could make their own zimun. Why not? So this fellow, Rabbi Avram from Orleans, who was known as one of the, lived at the time of the Balei Tosfos, he told the girls, if I'm not here, make a zimun by yourself. And he was Chomosh Rabbi Yehuda al pi avihem. So based on what they were told, they did it. Migulo noagu olam kain. However, this is not what people do. Gam Rabbeinu Simcha hayosa maisel etzarif ishta lezimun. And in fact, Rabbeinu Simcha went a step further. He says, women and avadim, they can be. But women and men, why not? So let's say hypothetically, a family sits down and there's one guy and there's six women. So according to Rabbeinu Simcha, so make a zimun. Why not?
They have to be family.
What?
They have to be family.
No. No, just families tend to eat together. What? Families tend to eat together, so, but even if not. Right, so he says that, why not? So there's a discussion as to whether or not women are obligated in benching. Why would I think not?
Because they're busy getting the meal together and
cleaning up. It's over.
She's the slave.
No, it's not Mrs. Sidman. It's got nothing to do with that. It says, because it says, we say in benching, Al barischa shechasamta vivsareinu. What? That one of the things that we thank God for is for the fact that we're circumcised. Al barischa shechasamta. What? Right, so that's not as relevant to women. Right, so therefore there's a discussion, if that part's not relevant, there's the whole thing out. So everyone agrees that women, in fact, are obligated in benching, but some people think that it might only be rabbinic. But he points out, whether they're obligated according to the Torah or according to the rabbis, one way or the other, women are obligated to bench. And if women are obligated to bench, they should also be as obligated in a zimun. Right, so the Mordechai quotes two opinions. One opinion is of Avraham the Orleans, who says that women have a right, and he would encourage the women in his family to make a zimun. And Rabbeinu Simcha goes a step further and says, you know, what the Gemara says is you can't mix women and avadim. It never says anything about women and men. So therefore, based on that, the Mordechai thinks that absolutely that's what should be going on here. This opinion of Rabbeinu Yehuda, who was the father-in-law of Avraham Orleans, is quoted also by the Tor, who says, "V'harav Yehuda haKohen hayemor halacha lemaisel itztarif ish lezimun." So his version is a little different. He quotes like Rabbeinu Simcha. He said women could be counted together with men. Maybe Raya mi debay b'Talmuda beperek Misha Meso Nashim bebirchas hamazel doraisa derabanan. The Gemara wants to talk about are the women obligated to bench? Is it a Doraisa obligation? Is it a Torah obligation or a Darabanan? And it says, what's the difference if either way they're obligated? So what's the answer? What's the difference? The answer is whether a woman can bench on behalf of a man. Can a man hear a woman bench and say Amen at the end? Because if they're both obligated mid Doraisa, if they're both obligated according to the Torah, well, then they could. A woman can be motzi man. If he's the Raisa and she's the Rabbanan, then not. Right? So, but at no point did they say, well, what's the difference, the Raisa or the Rabbanan, whether or not women can make zimun. It never suggests that, implying what? that, yeah, the women could make a Zimun. Michal de Pshita le de Mitztarfus. The Rote Mahachi Ademi Boya le im Yachos Otsi Tiba. He should have said that. However, he said the Rav Maharam Rumbuk, he showed Heshvel Dor. The Rav Rumbuk said that's not a proof. Kosov e Mitztarfus. Not women are not part of a Zimun. Vaharambam Kosov, the Noshim of one Katang e Mizamnan Aleim, Alvel Mizamnan Laatsman. The Rambam, when he quotes it, sounds like Rashi. He says that we can't mix avadim and women and ketanim together, but on their own they could. Ela nashim la'atzim v'avadim la'atzim v'ketanim la'atzim v'etzel yizam l'b'shem. So he said that no matter what, you can't get a minyan out of the women. You can't get a baruch elokeinu. That's not going to happen. But just to say a rabotai, or however you're going to write, chaverai, rabotai, however you're going to say it, that would be fine. So again, we have the tour. It seems Rashi, the Rambam, the Mordechai are discussing perhaps women and men together. Maybe yes, maybe no. But everyone seems to be saying that the women at least have an option, if not an obligation, to do a Zimun on their own. The Drisha, which is a commentary on the tour, quotes Rabbeinu Yehuda again, said that he was more halach l'maisel tzarif isha l'zimun v'im tomar v'atana noshim v'avon k'tam eim azam nin layim k'mo shekosav Rabbeinu lefnei zi yesh rabbi hu mefarish hachi ka'amar k'shem tzirufam yachan noshim v'avon k'tam oz eim tzarif shim v'shum pritzis t'avodim v'im noshim. Said that this is only a problem when you mix. However, women on their own at least can and perhaps should make their own Zimun. If that's not strong enough, there seems to be a much stronger comment elsewhere in the Gemara. The Gemara in Erechin says, HaKol Chayavim Zimun. Everybody is obligated to do a Zimun. So the Gemara says, L'asuye Mai, what are we including here? So it says, L'asuye Noshim V'avadim. This includes Noshim, women, and slaves. The Tanya Noshim Mezamnos La'atzman V'avadim Mezamnos La'atzman. So it says when everybody has to do a Zimun, so who's everybody? Well, clearly men. And the Gemara is saying that when, not just men, but even women. What does that sound like? It really sounds like that just like, let's say three men are eating together. They have an option of saying, you know, we'd rather not have a Zimun. It's running late, someone's got to...
No,
you have to. So if you tell me that the women have the same as the men, this Gemara sounds even more so. That not only can women make a Zimun, but they must make a Zimun. If there's a mixture of men, women, and children all together, then maybe not. But if it's just women, if we have a women's night out on the town, if we have a women's shalashudis, whatever it might be, it would seem unquestionable. So Tosus is a little bothered by this. Tosus says, you know, it sounded in Brachas that was optional. It sounds in Erechin like it's mandatory. So how do you deal with that? So Tosus says, Mikan mashv denoshim yecholos lezamin la'atzman. He says, it sounds from the Gemara in Brachas that women have an option. And in fact, Rabbi Avram, we know what they did there. He said, but the truth of the matter is, even back in the time of Tosfos, 700 years ago or so, women weren't making a Zimun. So why not? He wants to know. We have two opinions. Some opinions say they can. Some opinions say they must. So we'll get to that. Yes. That's nice. That's nice. Yes.
Oh, wow.
We're very progressive here in the East Denver Orthodox Synagogue. Right, other shuls don't make brachas. Right, so I think the concern here is it's more of a tzirif. It's more of joining together type thing. Brachas are fine, but again, we don't want to have meals that are mixing avadim and nashim. Again,
no, not so much.
So again, what we're talking here about is avadim, though. So we said that's a machlokes, according to Rabbeinu Simcha and other opinions, that if there's two guys and a girl, they can make a zimun.
What if there are three guys that
we'll discuss that. We'll discuss that. And we'll discuss three guys and a woman. I know the Eved case comes up all the time, but you know the rare case where there's a woman, we'll even deal with that case. What? Well, again, women are in the same category in Avadim in terms of the fact that they are not chayiv in mitzvah saseh shazman grama. Right? So as far as that is concerned. So Tosus is bothered by this. Tosus says, wait a second. If you came over to me and you asked me the question, you have something. It might be an obligation, and it might not be an obligation, but it's optional. Should I do it? Well, what's the downside? We haven't seen, what's the downside to women making a zimun? I know the upside, they might be obligated, and if they're not obligated, so let them volunteer. Right? We announce when we blow shofar here on Rosh Hashanah, women aren't obligated, but we encourage the women to come to hear the shofar blowing. Women aren't obligated, but we encourage them to eat in the sukkah. Women aren't obligated, but we encourage them to shake lulav. So women aren't obligated, so what? Just like we encourage women to do all the other mitzvahs, let them do this mitzvah as well. Especially, there's no possibility that women are obligated in hearing the shofar. Not a possibility. No possibility that they're obligated in the sukkah. No possibility that they're obligated. None. Here, there's a possibility they're actually obligated. So the question of Tosus is, why not? What's going on here? See, I don't get it. Not only that, but it says they do. It sounds like they're obligated. So his first answer is, well, it's not obligatory, it's optional. Doesn't really totally answer the question. It's not as bothersome, but still. What does it say? It says that if women and avadim want to make a zimun together, then what? Then in that case, they don't. But I mean, imratu, if they wanted to. That means if they wanted to on their own, they could. Logically, it follows. Which indicates, why we say if you want to, you can. So perhaps you can see from there that if you don't want to, you don't have to. So it sounds like that. So wait a second, Tosfos says. Okay, I can get through the Gemara in Brachos saying that it's optional. But what about the Gemara in Erchin? The Gemara, the Ka'amar, Bereish Erchin, Akol Mechuyavim B'Zimun, La'asu Yeinoshim, Le'inyin Rishus Ka'amar, Lo'in Chav. When it says that everybody's obligated, that doesn't really mean obligated. It means that they can. Okay. So he's the first one to raise the issue. Well, maybe, wait a second. Maybe the issue is that the women are not educated. So this goes back a few centuries. Now, if that, we will discuss that a little more, but if the reason that we're not requiring women to be part of the Zeman is because they're not educated, that would only last as long as they weren't educated. Nowadays, thank God, we have the wonderful Beis Yaakov system, and we have other educational opportunities for women. The typical young woman who grows up nowadays, at a bare minimum, can read Hebrew, and she knows how to bench. And it could be that she knows better than her brother, in many cases. So it's if this was the reason, we'd be stuck.
The Gemara?
There is a machlokes, whether it might be a Torah obligation, it might be rabbinic. But the Mishnah, the first Mishnah we read, right, sets down the law.
Right.
What the Mishnah source is from, that's a matter of dispute.
Yeah, so that's what was my question.
Okay. Tosfos is important, but Tosfos is not really a halachic authority. In general, when we talk about halachic authorities from the times of Rishonim, there are three authorities, really. One is the Rambam, another is the Rif, and the last one is the Rosh. The Rambam and the Rif were both from Sephardic countries, as opposed to the Rosh, presents the Ashkenazic opinion. So therefore, Tosfos, the Balei Tosfos lived in France, right? France is clearly an Ashkenazic country, at least it was then. And so based on that, that you'd expect the Rosh to follow the Tosfos and say that women have an option. However, it doesn't happen. He starts off by quoting what the Tosfos quoted, and then he goes on and says, wait a second. He says, what about the Gemara in Erechin? That really sounds all right. Venerally, he says, therefore, what that means is that, no, women actually are obligated. This isn't an option. When it says, hakol chayovim, everybody has to do it, so that really sounds everybody, meaning that women as much as men. Men don't have an option, women don't have an option. Zimum is part of benching. You open up your bencher, this is the first thing. You have to share a malas. I'll know it's bavel this week. So, why would you tell me they're obligated in part and not the other part? If the women have to bench, so let them make Zimun also. The Rosh says, it doesn't make any sense that we'd obligate them in part and not the other part, especially when there's no logic behind it. At the end it says, if they wanted, they can't. That means the front was only if you wanted to? I don't buy it. So therefore the Rosh, which is the major Ashkenazi posek, not only does he say that women can make a zeman, but he has an opinion that women must make a zeman. That just as much as men must, women must as well.
But not if there's a man present.
Correct. Well, let's assume that way.
Minimum of 3 women.
What?
Just a minimum of 3 women.
Or 5 women, or 8 women, or 164 women.
But you need 3.
Right. Just like men.
Okay.
Just like men, you need to have 3. Okay, let's skip to number 11 and see what the Shulchan Aruch says about this with that background. So the Shulchan Aruch is a Sfaradi, and he says, Meshum v'avadim v'noshim v'avadim katonim ein mezamdin aleihem. Avol mezamdin la'atzman. That women can't make a zeman, can't count towards the 3, but they could do it themselves. You can't mix them up. They can't do 10, they can't do Elokeinu, but they can do 3. And then it's then he paskes Noshim Mizamnos La'atzmam Rishus. Women have the right to do it, but they're not required to. Avo. Let's say it's 3 men and 3 women. Then what? So the men are going to make a zeman, and the women have to be part of it. Right? So let's say you're at the Shabbos table. Right? And there's a big crowd, and there's going to be a zeman. So the women have to be at the table and answer as well. No one disagrees with this. The women, just as much as all the men have to come to the table for benching, so do all the women. Right? Even the people who say that it's optional in another case, in this case, women for sure are obligated.
Can I ask you a question?
Please, do. Don't be shy.
So where would these people base their opinion on their posture? And you're like, from where? And why is that so totally different?
So again, the issue is as follows. Let's review a little bit, okay? Right, we have basically 2 sources, right? One source in Brachos says that women can make a zimun by themselves. Another one in Erechin indicates that women must make a zimun because women are just as chayiv. So somehow or another, you're going to have to get these 2 to work out together. So some take the approach of, no, they both say can means has to. Another one says that no, it has to really means can. Just put it in basic, right? So when it comes down to it, the Shulchan Aruch says can. But if there's already a preset Zimun, if there are three men there and there's going to be a Zimun, the women absolutely are obligated in it. But we're still stuck with this question of why it's not happening. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Aval Mizamnim La'atzman Rishus V'kai Noshim V'avadim. He makes it clear, by the way, women can make their own Zimun, Avadim can make their own Zimun, Katanim can't. That's just... just to point, make be that clear. Rishus, so he wants to know why. Why, it's an odd thing. You don't really have this often. A mitzvah that if you want to do it, you can do it, but if you don't want it, you don't have to. So he says, what's the reason? So the Mishnah Berurah, in the Mishnah Berurah proper, offers, Yishlum ha'atam d'lo ratu chacham ha'ati oleim chiyuv, birchas ha'zimun, k'shem b'fnei asim, m'shum she'ein ha'matzu kol kach shayu b'kiyas b'birchas ha'zimun. So it was that the Chachamim specifically let them off the hook because there was an issue that not a lot of women at the time were getting an education. That happens to be historically true. So according to that, it would be very difficult to understand why now that should still be the rule. Yes?
How does that make sense if they knew how to bench? They were expected to memorize that?
No, so I guess the idea is that someone would be motzi them. They would listen. Right. What? Well, yeah, let's be honest here. Let's go back in history. Why do we have Chazaras Hashatz? Right? Why does the Sefer Tzeva go over? Because men and women alike, by and large, at one point in history, didn't know how to daven. So they would listen to the Chazan, and they would answer Amen. Because they didn't know how to daven. So it wasn't a matter of just women, but men as well. At a point in history, also we're not getting an education. Right? The education system that as we have it doesn't go back that far historically. Right? The Gemara talks about the first steps at the time of the Gemara to develop a system. It used to be that a father taught a son, or he hired someone. If a kid was an orphan, which was more common in those days, too bad. You know, either someone took mercy on him and taught him a little bit, or the kid just never got an education. So the Mishnah Berurah suggests that perhaps that literacy was less among the female population. That's the reason why not. In the Mishnah Berurah itself, there are footnotes written by the same Chafetz Chaim. And in it, he offers a second reason, which is a little bit odd as well. He said, what's the reason that women are not obligated? He said, "Efshar o mishum lechachira mitzvah min amufcha b'shrosh levar chalkos." When you bench, you should really use a cup of wine. That's it. Ve'isha ganaya dover. So have women drinking alcohol, requiring them to do that. That's not such a nice thing. But again, that's also a very weak answer. Why? Because at this point, men hardly ever use a cup of wine.
They used to use wine if just for a zimun.
What?
Just for a zimun, not for.
I'd say probably on a typical Shabbos, we tend to have a minyan at our Shabbos meals, and we don't use a cup of wine unless someone asks for it. What? We do a chalashudas here. Right? You do it. But by and large, you have a zimun in this. So Avi's here and Shlomo's here. Do you have a zimun tomorrow night? You're gonna bench on a cup of wine?
Well, we don't have a minion. They're just.
No, but again, it says you have a zimun of three. Women never have a minion. Right? So it's saying that for three, you're supposed to have a cup of wine. That's the reason not. It's very weak. For three, it's rare to see someone benching on a cup of wine. So again, both of these answers, why women aren't making a zimun, are weak. They're honestly weak.
It's also not so bad to have a woman drinking alcohol.
No, I understand. I understand the downside to it. But the bottom line is the men aren't drinking the alcohol. That's the weakness here. And in the first case, the women are educated. So even if they're not obligated, so encourage it. Why is it that in the majority of Jewish communities, women are not making a zimun? The Ar Sameach gives a very interesting answer. The Ar Sameach indicates that there's a third major source, a tosefta. And if you read the Tosefta closely, one could read it as saying that it disagrees with the Gemara in Erechim. It's saying that Hakol Asuyemai, women are not chayev at all. So if you accept that, now that's a little odd, because all the Rishonim that we saw, and in the Shulchan Aruch, no one else read it, this Tosefta that way. But he's saying that the fact that the Gemara says you do, well, that Gemara is not in agreement with the Tosefta, and that's the reason we don't. So that is his suggestion. We're not going to go through the ins and outs of it, but there is a possibility that perhaps is right. On the other hand, it's questionable. While in the time of the Rishonim, etc., no one talks of this Tosefta, and still already at that time, women weren't benching. So that's an issue as well. Rabbi Mordechai Willig, in his Sefer, gives another possibility, which again is a strong answer, but it's a little bothersome that no one mentioned it earlier, where he says that just like there's a that women are individuals, and therefore they're not mitzareif, they don't get together to be a tzibor. Right? We all agree that 10 women do not make a minyan. If you have 10 women together, you can't say baruch hu, you can't say kaddish, etc. Right? There's no one who disagrees with that. So too, just like they can't make 10, they also can't make 3. Again, logically, sounds right, but the problem is, it doesn't really fit in all that well. So therefore, you've got a problem. The question is, why is it nowadays that women don't? Again, we go to the Shaar HaTzion, and the Shaar HaTzion says, "V'chein b'katana lo kosov kein, b'yak lo kosov kein, v'nir shetam ha'agron Rav Zalman, v'kevin de'echai v'ruhu b'zim v'machu sh'ochu b'chavur, sh'gimoshim v'chal m'meiro arayu gam kein chuyuva." He's talking about the following interesting machlokas. Let's say you have 3 men and 3 women eating together. So the men are going to make a zimun, and the women are chayvin a zimun. Can the women say, we're going to move now to the living room? And you can have a men's zimun and a women's zimun?
I don't think so.
So that's a machlokas. That's a machlokas. You can't be right, you can't be wrong.
Great.
Right? So it's great that way. So that's a discussion, whether you could do that or not. But in terms of the question is why we're not doing it at all, we're kind of stuck still.
Why would they even need to do? Why would the woman even need to go somewhere else?
What? Right, no, let's say they want to. They want to. Let's say a woman says, I have your yahrzeit, I'd like to lead the benching. Right? So, okay, so according to the Alter Rebbe, okay, right, then according to the Minhag Lubavitch, the women have a right to break away from the men and make their own. And according to the Yad Katana, the other opinions disagree. Here's where it gets interesting. You look at number 19. The Mishnah Berurah quotes, "Noshim mizanis la'atzma rishus v'das ha'gro b'bir she'ikar kaharosh v'tosis ri she'nozul azun chov." The gro held that women are obligated, right? Which makes a lot of sense. We said that the Ashkenazi opinion would be out of the rush. The rush says women have to. So the gro says that women absolutely, positively have to make a zimun, and that's what the gro would tell members of his family, that you're obligated. It's not if you want to, you can. You actually are obligated. Now it gets a little tricky. So wait a second. The Gra is not a minor opinion. Right? The Gra is a significant opinion. And there's no one that we've seen who said that women can't. Right? You either can or must. Those are the only opinions we have. So it becomes very problematic that it's not happening. If you look at, let's go to the Sfaradim, the Ben Ish Chai, says, "Noshim af agav deim bezamdin aleim l'chulei alma," even though they can't count towards a 3 with men. "Mikol makom yesh omim dechayavus l'zamdin l'atzman." Some say that you have to. "V'yesh om shurishus," and some say they can. "V'imratzim bezamdin l'atzman." "Hinei ki chen roya shekol adam yilma l'nishay b'nei beso, shim bezamdin l'atzman k'shem ochim b'shrosha." It is therefore appropriate, the Ben Ish Chai says, that men should teach the women in their house, when they eat together, they should make a zimun. Avo yizamnu b'shem afil heimeya. Just not alokeinu. But the Rabbi Sai Nevarech, probably not Rabbi Sai, that would be the same. So you have here major opinions, all pointing to the fact that women have to. Let's take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan is a contemporary of the Mishnah Berurah. Book was published early part of the 20th century. He's widely accepted. The Aruch HaShulchan is well known for trying to defend whatever the tradition currently is. Right, in the event that the halacha seems to be saying X and everyone seems to be doing Y, the Aruch HaShulchan by and large tries to explain why Y is acceptable. Right? The mere fact that people are doing it, he thought, was a significant proof that's probably right. So even if the majority opinion says do X and there's a minority that says Y, but everyone's doing Y, that is reason to assume that maybe Y was right. So he quotes our Gemara. Quotes the Gemara. Then he quotes Rashi that they can if they want to. So Rashi and Tosfos say that they can, but they don't have to. But the Rosh said they must. Because that's what the other Gemara says. So no one's arguing when they're at a meal with three men, they're obligated to participate. What is the tradition? Kirashi v'tosfas. That even though the Gras says follow the rush, women must, the Aruch HaShulchan says the bottom line is women don't. In fact, we never heard of such a thing.
Really?
What? In Belarus, they were not doing it.
They didn't do it in New York either. High school, college.
Oh, right. No, so again, the Aruch HaShulchan's statement of the facts are true. It's interesting. Chayit has a good friend who used to live on the other side of the Heights. And Breuer's has a women's shalashudas from time to time. And Breuer's is a pretty straight-laced place, to say the least. So one time, one of the women came over, Mrs. Wiener Schnitzel, went over to her to his friend and said, would you mind leading us in the benching? And she didn't know what to do. She said, I'm not judging. I'm not saying that it's a problem. I understand that there are opinions that say it's okay. I'm not comfortable, but I'm not saying that anyone else does. So the woman says, you don't want to do it? She said, okay, Mrs. Schwartz, can you lead us in benching? She said, okay. Baruch Ata. And it never even occurred to them what she was talking about. Will you lead us in benching?
We used to do a women's shalashudas, and we used to bench.
With a zeman? Yeah. When? Where?
At TRI.
Okay.
TRI.
Right, again, the right place. But the Aruch HaShulchan says that women don't do it. He doesn't explain why not. He basically says they don't have to. Doesn't mean they can't, but they don't. So the question at the end of the day is, wait a second. I've got real opinions that say they must. I have other opinions that say they can. I have not seen an opinion that says they can't. So, why not? So, if Sternberg has a response, so a woman writes in and says, I want to follow the Gra. Why not? Sounds like a very admirable thing to do. If women aren't going to do a zimun, then don't eat together. If you're going to eat together, you have to do a zeba. You can't just opt out. Shaladasa gra mechuyavas b'zimun ve'en mevarachos. V'nishalti im rotzos l'hachmir l'zamim k'dei rotzeis v'kol savik ishap yiravdi. So the person asks, Rav Sternbach, so I'm ultra-Orthodox woman. I'm machmir on everything. I don't drink the water. I only use, the finest of shritas. Why shouldn't I, right? I take challah for my bread five times. I'm super. So once I took so many challah, shouldn't I make a zimun when I'm done eating it, whatever's left? It says, Lefi ani yazdaiti yesh lachish v'zeh b'kam upon him. I'm not comfortable with it. Why not? It looks haughty. Your mother didn't do it. Haughty. Your mother never did it. Right? Your grandmother never did it. Right? The Alta Baba never did it. What? Right? So this, fair. But he's saying that therefore you don't want to look like you're better than your mother. Reason number one. Well, on the other hand, is it appropriate for a son to get the father's Kiddush cup of Yerusha and say, it's not big enough, I'm not going to use it? That doesn't sound good. What? The Chafetz Chaim's grandchildren wouldn't use his cup. And he's Orthodox according to many opinions. Just putting that out there.
You've got to start somewhere.
So that's answer number one. Again, I'm reading. I'm not presenting. I'm just reading. That's all what I'm doing, because I can read Hebrew. Because I'm a boy. I can read Hebrew.
Some of us can read Hebrew.
Get out of here.
I don't understand a word you say when you read.
All right. That's one. Va'od the gimel nikravim came to lay his roses go to do. Shemiksasim nogos lahachmir neged minagir. Also, if everyone in your city is not doing it, says I being porish minatzibor. So the question is, and tell me, and if no one in my city covered their hair, and I'm a married woman, would you say, I'll tifrish minatzibor?
No, that's what's so weird about this.
Right?
Never heard of women.
Right, what a deal. Imagine if we didn't hear about men getting up so early for Shachris. That'd be great. It's considered a real bracha. Maybe it's a bracha v'atala. I don't understand why. Why would it be a bracha v'atala? Even, let's say it is a bracha even without God's name. I'll accept that. Let's say it's a bracha. But still, who said they can't make the bracha?
Why is it Levatola if they're saying benching?
Right. Was Zeman? If you told me there was even one opinion out there that said women are not allowed to do this, then I could start to accept this.
Isn't the rule that if the Zebra is doing something wrong, you shouldn't join them?
I imagine that's true. But again, no one's saying that Zebra is doing something wrong. Right? The Shulchan Aruch says that it's optional. Right? The Ramon didn't say anything against it, right? There are plenty of opinions that said it was optional. So women are opting out, that's not wrong. It's optional. But to say that opt-in is wrong, it's because no one else is.
So when was that written? When was this?
This is pretty contemporary.
Like the last 20 years?
Yes. Again, the author is still alive. Edward Sternberg is the head of the Eidah Haredis in Yerushalayim. Before that, he was the chief rabbi of Johannesburg. I think that's the truth. I think you're absolutely right.
It looks feminine.
Right. I think that's absolutely right. And I'd feel more comfortable if he just said it.
Right.
Because I might be willing to accept that. Right. I might be willing to accept that 100%. But no one's saying that. I think that is the real answer. Right? But in terms of, if I leave that piece out, which, in print, basically everyone does, then you've got an issue.
Why wouldn't they accept it? Why
acknowledge that? I don't know. Again, I think that it's too... easy to argue with, even though it might be right. Oh, you see, it's the rabbis that are living in the dark ages, da-da-da-da-da, right? It's very easy to attack that, right? To turn around and say, it's losis go to do, it's this, it's that, you know, to try to get a technical halachic point, right? You know, you're starting up with the Alta Baba, which there are concepts like that. There are certain chumras we do not allow in because of that. So, for example, you know, when you write a get, so there's a tradition in each city, how do you write the name of the city? Some of them are ridiculous. I'll give you an example. Every city in the United States writes the city but does not write the state. Right? When we do a get here in Denver, we write Denver. Masa de Yosvel, Nahar, Colorado, it's written out. Right? In New York, we write New York, period. Right? New York, Masa de Yosvel, the city that sits on the Hudson and the East River, that's what we write. We never write it. Cleveland writes Cleveland, Ohio. The only place in the ganz United States, there's not one city outside of Cleveland that writes Cleveland, Ohio. And people for almost a century have been scratching their head trying to figure out why. So one guy wrote a tshuva and said, you know why? The issue is as follows. There's really two Clevelands in the United States. And there's a big one and there's a little one. So the little one's in Ohio. So not to get confused, we call it Cleveland, Ohio. Clearly, this is a guy who's sitting in the back seat playing geography. He's going to have a very short game.
Right? Kansas.
What? There's a Denver. There is it, right? There is it. There is. But it's hard to imagine that's the big Denver. Right? You know? So, you know, that being said, so if I was a rabbi in Cleveland, so should I change it and take out the Ohio? Why bother? Because it's wrong.
Well, it's still Cleveland, Ohio. It's not your thing.
But again, it's
Colorado, it, Cleveland, Ohio.
But again, people get confused. They think that there's a second Cleveland. This is the, so the answer is no, because for 100 years they've done this. And even though, okay, but you don't want people to turn around and say, so that get was really not no good. And this person who's a product of the second marriage, they're really a mamzer. You don't want to go down that road. So even though this might be a very reasonable chumrah to accept, we stop it because we don't want people to say they were doing wrong. So that is a major concern. Would you apply it to this case? It's probably not quite the same as a get. Right? So I think that's the reason why people are more comfortable with these types of arguments, even though, in all honesty, they seem to be weaker arguments. That's the truth. So that's the story. So it would seem from the simple understanding that women, at a bare minimum, can. That's probably the truth. It's probably this, even though the Gra says it's an obligation, clearly that has not been accepted. But from a straight halachic point of view, holding off on all philosophical concerns and societal concerns, right? Women absolutely have a right to do it, and there's no issue whatsoever. No.
You have to do it
no.
Sometimes yes.
Sometimes yes. Yeah. Generally, we don't do it, but it's my daughter's bas mitzvah, so we're going to have her lead the zeman. I think that I said right. It's optional, right?
Oh my gosh.
Right. So that's the story. You might want to say bli neder the first time. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked the question number 20: Im noshim she'ochlim shlosha anoshim chayavos ra'anos bebirchas hazimun? Do women have to answer a zimun? And he says, of course. And he says it's a concern because he sees at a lot of Shabbos tables, you know, the women are off the table when it comes to benching.
They don't do nickel bossing.
Before? They don't wash beforehand?
Women pass it on. Only the men do.
My machronim, you mean?
Sorry.
I don't do my machronim. It's funny. Yes, they do. Not so Hasidish. You know the reason why Hasidim do and Yekkes don't? Because some people use forks, so we don't have to wash our hands. Mm-hmm. You know the story one time there were 9 Yekkes and a Chassid at Chalashuddis? You know the story?
No.
Yes. Here's what happened. there was one piece of herring left.
Uh-oh.
And suddenly there was a bolt of lightning.
Yeah.
The lights went out.
Yeah.
And there was a blood-curdling scream. And where the herring was, there's one hand with 9 forks in it. So Moshe says, absolutely, the women have to be called to the table. He tries to explain, maybe there's a reason why, he tries to defend it. He said, but the truth is, Aval, ha-noshim b'shashim b'mayim l'varech b'zimun, v'ein rotzim l'chakos ha-noshim. If there are women who are rushing, and men that are rushing to bench, and they don't want to wait for the women, v'ein karim l'noshim, they don't even call them? Is that vade aser? It's absolutely not allowed. So women have to be, this is according to all opinions, for example, the Shabbos table, if there's a Zeman, the women have to make sure, and the men have to make sure not to start benching until all the women are back on the table. Interesting question. We'll just leave off with the Shevet HaLevi. Rav Osner had the following question, that the minig is in the certain Hasidic communities that Friday night, before dessert, the men leave, and they go to the Rebbe's Tish. And then they eat at the Rebbe's Tish and they bench there. So the question is, well, what happens to the women then? What? So he tries to explain what's going on in these Hasidic communities. It really does seem to be problematic. So he said, the Kodum Gemar Suda, afil hoya yachid betchilosu edayin rashay lotzeis. Maybe there are opinions out there that say that in fact, that it doesn't matter if you started together. The Zeman only has to do if you end together. So if in fact at the end there isn't a Zeman, so that's okay. They're not really obligated. But again, that's you know, it's revisionist history. The Hasidim are doing it, and now we're trying to understand why. But there's no one out there who says that this is okay. That in fact, you know, women don't have to be part of the Zeman. So everybody agrees, whether it's for whatever the reason, whether it's sociologically, whatever, that if there are men and women together, the women are just as chayav as the men to answer the zeman. They have to be sure to be at benching and they have to respond. When it's just women, right, so that's a machokas. The Gra says that they're absolutely obligated. That is the minority opinion. The majority opinion, the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah, the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan, the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, is that women have an option to do it. Women have over the centuries not opted to do it for whatever reason, but it's hard to understand why that remains true. There are many great rabbis that absolutely told the women in their household that you have to do it, right? The Ben Ish Chai for the Sfaradim, the Gra clearly said that way. The Gra said, if you're not going to do it, don't eat together, right? So again, so this is questionable, right? That in terms of straight halacha, women should be making a zeman. There's no downside and there's potential upside. Are there other considerations? I'll give that a strong maybe. Thank you.